G'day folks, welcome to Pause and Listen, a podcast series brought to you by Big Dog Pet Foods, the leading pet nutrition provider in Australia with over 20 years of experience in the pet industry. We provide educational resources for pet parents and are proud of being transparent in everything we do. The podcast series is hosted by me, Johnny Manning, and we bring you interviews and deep dives into pet nutrition, pet care, training, and regular Ask a Vet segments. So thanks for tuning in. Now get your tails wagging and we'll get yapping. Good day, pet owners, fur parents, and lovers of all creatures great and small. Welcome to Pause and Listens. This is a Big Dog Pet Foods podcast. My name is Johnny Manning. I'm your host as usual. And with me yet again on the screen in my ears, giving me all sorts of wonderful insight, information, data, facts, advice is Dr. Nicole Rouse, the owner of Montalbot Vet Surgery down there in Victoria and the founder of Shy Tiger. Dr. Nick, g'day and welcome back.
How are you, Johnny? Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
It feels like an age since we've spoken, but doesn't it? But look, we wanted to sit down with you today because we talk about so many different topics, you know, and we pre-plan what we're going to talk about. We say, okay, this one's going to be about this, this one's going to be about that. And we're sort of thinking about what the listener wants to hear and what they need to hear. But you know what we've done? We've flipped the script, Dr. Nick. We've asked them for some questions.
I love it. I can't wait for this. It's going to be interesting to see what we chat about.
The people have spoken. And then I've got a list of questions here in front of me, Dr. Nick, and all of them I am supremely confident you are well-equipped, versed, qualified, and willing to answer. Should we just get straight into it?
Love it. Let's do it.
All right. Number one question, Dr. Nick. This is a good one to start off with. How do I transition my dog to raw food?
I love this question. So I talk to clients about this all day, every day. So my first top tip for you is just do it. Just do it. Stop thinking about it. Just go and get a pack of pre-made balanced raw. So don't start going crazy with all the DIY.
Like Big Dog.
And just start doing it. I think we overthink these things so much. Okay, so let's go through the standard process that I would tell clients. Number one is, does your dog have a sensitive tummy or not? If they have a really sensitive tummy, I would look at getting a good probiotic digestive enzyme. We call them synbiotics, but basically they're probiotics with extras, and they're there to support the gut function and provide a good gut biome to be able to digest the change in diet. And that's particularly important if you're going from a highly processed diet where the gut biome is not very diverse to a beautiful real food diet where you've got lots of bioavailable nutrients. So that would be my first tip. I'd get that. Sometimes I'll even do that for a week before I transition if I'm really worried about a patient and their gut. So I want to set up a good gut that's going to be nice and healthy. And I'll also sometimes do that if I think the client is has anxiety or themselves, or if they're going to find it quite stressful. And then we start the transition. The first couple of days, I'm just going to do a spoon of the new diet here or there. So I'm just going to add a couple of spoons in. I'm going to make sure they're enjoying the new diet, and I'm going to make sure they don't have explosive diarrhea or vomiting, just to test the waters a little bit. As long as that's okay, then we move up to a quarter of the diet being the new diet and three quarters being the old. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not gram for gram. You're just roughly looking at about a quarter, about three quarters. You give that a few days, three or four days, if they're getting a bit loose, I'll go a bit slower. As long as they're going well, then the next step I go half-half, okay? Then I watch their stools again. If they're getting loose, I'll slow it down. If they're normal, then I move up to three quarters new diet, one quarter old diet, and so on. It's quite common sense, isn't it? But I think the main thing for pet parents is that if they have a little bit of loose stool or a little bit of a mucus-covered stool, don't freak out. Don't give up and go back to square one. Just be patient and have time. As long as the dog's bright and happy, you just have to ride it out a little bit. So I think just, you know, play the long game and just ride it out, happy puppy. Interestingly enough, the research, even though I've just told you that whole process, the research actually shows you that there's no more upsets tummies or loose stools if you do a really fast transition to a slow transition. I think we're more comfortable with the slow transition. So the alternative, if I had some context, you actually could fast the dogs for 24 hours and just suddenly change their diet. But let's not go down that path. I know, because that'll freak people out. It's just easier to do a slow transition. But if for some reason in life you have to do a fast transition, don't freak out about it. It's okay.
It's funny, you know, you said if they do have some stomach issues, don't freak out about it. It's just a change in diet. I know what happens if I go onto a ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
I have to deal with some kind of issues for a few days when I do
you
that.
Do.
So it's the same kind of thing.
And you know, as long as you're again, okay, you just ride it out, don't you?
Yeah. And if you apply common sense to it,
it's absolutely
no different from our pets. And do you think over what a 2 week, did you say over a 2 week period, you know, the slow transition?
Yeah, the two weeks are very safe time. So 10 to 14 days is probably where it's at, where most people are quite comfortable with it. And that gives you a bit of time that if their stools are perfect, you can skip a day and go up to the next. If they're a bit loose, you slow down for a couple of days. Just use your gut and common sense on it. But I'd say 90% of the dogs can easily do it over a two-week period.
Okay, so the first question was, how do I transition my dog to raw food? Dr. Nicole applies the Nike method. Just do it. I love it.
Just do it. I love it.
Now, next question, Dr. Nick. My dog has become uninterested in their raw food. How can I get them eating it again?
Ooh, this is an interesting one, isn't it? So again, common. So don't panic. I'd say a couple of things. The first thing is that do a bit of a health check at home. And if there's a potential there might be a health issue with your pet, then go and see your vet. But things we're looking for, are they drinking more? Are they vomiting? Do they have loose stools? Is there any sign that they might be a bit unwell? So rather than it just being about the food, could it be something else going on? Are they walking around like they're in pain? Like, could it be something else? Do they have smelly breath? Might they have a sore tooth? Like, there's all these things that could make them uninterested in their food that might be nothing to do with the diet at all. So tick that box if you want to go and see your vet with that one. Then number two, obviously check the food. Make sure that you don't have a batch of food that you've accidentally left in the fridge for 6 days or, you know, it's always worth checking the food. The dogs have got a pretty keen sense of smell. Sometimes they're smarter than we are. And then probably, interestingly, one of the most common reasons that I see pets going off their food, whether it's fresh, whatever, is we're often just feeding them too much and they're not that hungry. So reduce their treats and sometimes even reducing the feed frequency. So I find a lot of dogs actually feed better being fed once a day. And I know I only feed my own dogs once a day. In the wild, they would only eat every 2 to 3 days. So they're not naturally necessarily geared to feeding twice a day plus treats plus this plus that. Unless they have a sensitive tummy, that's a bit of caveat there. A lot of dogs with really sensitive tummies do better on multiple feeds. But for your standard dog with no underlying health issues, they actually often eat better being fed once a day. And some of these really primitive sort of breeds will not even have a great appetite on once a day. Sometimes they'll feed well, really well every couple of days, and in between they're a bit average. So I think look at the dog in front of you and don't ever overanalyze that side of things, but reduce the treats, consider reducing the feed frequency, make sure your dog's healthy. They're my big things. And then sometimes they're just bored, so change it up a little bit. Feed it in a puzzle feeder, add some toppers to it, change the flavor. You know, some of them are a bit like us and they just want a bit of variety.
That's awesome. With my old boy, Frank, sometimes if he's not hassling me for food, I won't give it to him. You know, like I'll be like, if he's just sitting there and he's content, I'm like, I'm not going to make him eat. What if someone's trying to make me eat? I'm like, hey, I'm not hungry. I don't want it, you know. But and then if he gets hungry, he'll come and hassle me for food. I'm like, okay, pal. And then he eats everything. Love that advice. All right. This is a good one, Dr. Nick. And this one's an interesting one and it's a delicate one as well. My vet doesn't recommend raw feeding. What should I do? Why is this? And how do I discuss raw feeding with my vet who doesn't recommend it?
This is a tough one, isn't it? So I would say it is delicate. And I would say because it is delicate, I think that proceed with empathy and caution on this. And I think that the first thing I would say is just understand your vet's perspective and please, please appreciate that your vet is not trying to sell you a bag of dog food. Your vet is trying to keep your pet healthy. And if they're not supporting a raw diet, it's because they don't either have the knowledge base or they're genuinely worried about your pet's health by feeding it. So they're not doing it because they're, you know, horrible people and they, you know, they want your dog to get sick and all these sorts of things. They're doing it because that is their perspective. That's what they've been trained with. That's their understanding. That's their confidence. And that's their belief. So please acknowledge that and appreciate that it is actually with kindness that they do have that perspective. But having said that, we all need to move forward with feeding real food and understanding the benefits of a real food diet. And part of that is being open to new knowledge. Most of the concern around real food is the balance of nutrients and the potential risk for contamination. They're going to be your two big issues from vets. So I'd say share with your vet that you're feeding a complete and balanced diet, and that will help reassure them. And I know brands like Big Dog are like, they're, you know, complete and balanced. They tick all the AFCO boxes, which is our nutrient guidelines. And also share with them the fact that the research shows that there's more recalls from kibble-based diets, from salmonella, than there is of any of the raw food companies. So, you know, there's more toddlers that are hospitalized from putting their hands in bags of kibble or the dog's bowl and getting gastro than there is real food. So, but that's going to be their main area of concern. So I think share your research, proceed with empathy and caution. And then honestly, if you'll get the odd vet, like you will get any practitioner in any field, that is going to be so anti your point of view. And sometimes you're just going to have to get a second opinion and find a new vet. And you just have to accept that if you're not going to be able to get support from your vet, you may need to find another vet, or you may need to accept that you need two vets. So you might need to have your local vet, and then you also do phone consults or drive an hour once a year to have another chat to an integrative vet or a vet that's open-minded about raw feeding.
I love that. And I love that you are so gentle with people that potentially don't share the same view that you do.
Well, I was one of them.
I know. And you and I sit here and we're not on our high horse, but we are 100% confident that what we're doing is right. This is the right way to feed a dog. I have no doubt in my mind. There are vets out there that don't share that same belief. So what I want to say, and I've said this before, love your vet. Love your 100%. Vet. They are not corporate stooges. As you said, they are not trying to sell you a bag of food, and they want your pet to be healthy. So love your vet. And as you said, approach them with empathy and understanding. Man, that's just the best thing ever. That's exactly what you should do. And sometimes, I've said to you before on this podcast, I get nervous sometimes when they say, what are you feeding? And I'm like, oh man, are they going to get angry at me? Because I say, well, I'm a raw feeder. But you just got to do it and own it and say, hey, I feed it, as you said, a complete and balanced raw diet. Okay. And of late, I mean, 15 years ago, I might have copped something, but of late, they go, oh yeah, cool. Okay. No worries. Which is great. It's great. And even if, you know, even if they think something else is going to be better for the animal, I think they're not going to have that fight with you because, you know, they probably know that you've done your research and you know what's best for your animal, which is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I agree. So hopefully that's a good answer for that question.
I reckon it was a good answer, Dr. Nick, on my humble opinion. Good. Now, we do have one last question. Now, it's a bit of a big one, but I think we've kind of touched on it a little bit. The question is, how much and how often do I feed my dog? Now, you just spoke about if your dog becomes disinterested, pulling back the food, limiting it.
Yes.
I talked about Frank saying, I often let him be my guide because I think in the past I have overfed him. So if I let him be the guide and he's not as much of a guts as he used to be, then I'm okay giving him his treats. You know, he can have his treats. He has his little treasure hunt, which keeps his brain going as well. Now, there is, obviously on the Big Dog website, there is a calculator. Now, I've pulled it up on my phone here right now, and I've punched in Frank's his dog, his weight, his age, and what recipe. You can take your pick of recipes, and it said Frank should have 2.5 patties per day. And then it brings in the cost, which is great as well. But that 2.5 patties per day, that doesn't mean 2.5 patties twice a day.
No, not at all. Do you know, my dogs eat big dog as well. I've actually never looked at the calculator. I just look at my dogs and guess, and I fed them, and then, but so I'm not a good example, but I feed the dog in front of me. I'm like, if they're putting on weight, I trim it back a bit. If they look a bit lean, I'll boost up a bit. So, yeah, absolutely. So let's do a couple of things. Firstly, feed the dog in front of you. Not every 60 kilogram woman eats exactly the same amount of food every day. Our dogs are the same. They all have different metabolisms. So we have rough guidelines, and Big Dog will have guidelines on there, as you said, the Coca-Cola and their website. But it doesn't mean that your dog has to eat that amount of food every single day. That's where you start. And because, as we say, dogs, the general guidelines feed once a day, whenever you look at their recommendations, they're recommending for the whole day food. They don't know how many times a day you're going to feed your dog. They don't know whether you're feeding your dog once a day, twice a day, three times a day. So whenever they're going to recommend how much to feed, that's for the whole day. And then it's up to you to divide that into how many feeds you want to feed, one, two, three, whatever you want
to
do.
It's totally cool to break it up, right? If your dog likes breakfast and likes dinner, it's totally cool to say, yeah, if it's 2.5 patties per day, that's 1.25 morning, 1.25 at night, or, you know, 1.5 in the morning and 1 at night. You can sort of balance it out that way, right?
You can. Interestingly, just as a side note, for really healthy dogs without any sensitive tummies, there are actually now documented benefits to fasting. So there are actually benefits, like with humans, to actually only feeding once a day. So it is interesting.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see where we go with this for the next 10 years. So my default would be to feed a dog once a day.
Yep.
But if you have a sensitive tummy, then I would feed twice a day.
Yeah.
And some of them I even actually feed three times. So I'll go morning and night, and then a tiny little snack at supper so they don't have an empty tummy.
Yeah, right.
But my default's once a day. So just in case anyone was wondering.
But also your default is to feed the dog in front of you, right? That's probably
100%. Yeah. So you look at it and you say, okay, well, the standard is 2 to 3% body weight. Yeah. So for a 10 kilogram dog, that's between 200 and 300 grams a day. Yeah. And Big Dog would do that based on, you know, their leaner recipes, like Kangaroo might feed a bit more, and their fattier ones like Chicken and Lamb might feed a bit less. So that's where that all comes in. But you start with that as a guideline. You do that for, say, 4 weeks. If your dog's putting on weight, don't keep feeding that much.
Exactly.
Feed less.
Yeah.
Feed the dog in front of you. And I've got one of my dogs is 4 kilos and one's 4.5 kilos. They eat exactly the same every day.
Yeah, okay.
And it's monitor them. It's just, you know, they have different metabolisms just like humans do. So you need to use it as a guideline and feed the dog in front of you.
I love it. I love it. And as I said before, get on that, you got to try it, Dr. Nick, get on that, the Big Dog website.
I'll get you to type my two in and see how much they actually should be eating.
You can just punch in all the details there and it spits out what your dog needs. It's actually really, really cool.
My dogs get half a patty each.
It's quite convenient, isn't it, as well, right? Like you're defrosting one and feeding one. So that's perfect.
I know. So it's all there. They get half each.
Yeah. And if Frank's, you know, it says he gets 2.5 per day, I'll defrost two, but I'll give him a little topper for the extra 0.5, you know, that he's supposed to get.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's getting one.
You might give him a bone or a chew or something else.
Exactly.
And then you wear the back of it. Yeah.
Or even if I hold back a little bit of that 0.5 and that becomes his treats, things like that. And I think it's taken me a really long time to actually kind of work all that out and really have that as an implemented, you know, it's not a strict regime, but it's just his feeding program, because, you know, we're responsible for his health. So we have to be a little bit more regimented in what we do with his food. But once we've got that in place, so as I said before, I'm listening to him. I'm using the feeding, I'm using the feeding guide, but I'm also ensuring that his treats and toppers are part of that feeding guide as well. Do you know what I mean? Not an exact science, but that's the whole pie that he gets per day. So he maintains a healthy weight.
Absolutely. Like, you know, you can't, if it says 2.5 patties, they don't get 2.5 patties plus a raw turkey neck for breakfast plus 10 liver treats with your cup of tea at morning tea. That's never going to work. Like, if that's what they're designed to do. Yeah. So, but I think it's backing yourself and actually thinking about it and understanding them, and you understanding it from a human point of view as well. If we eat too much, we're going to put on weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's not challenging. If you're not eating enough, And also then if your dog is losing weight, then realize that you can feed them more. It's okay just because they're above the recommended range. Or you pick a fattier cut of meat, or and if they need to lose weight, pick a leaner cut of meat. So you can actually, again, the dog in front of you, have a look. If you got some athlete that needs bulking up, and then pick the right diet for them and look at the amount. But if you need to go a bit above, it's okay. If you've got a dog with a sluggish metabolism, pick the leaner cut and then maybe go a bit below the recommended dose for the day and not worry about that either. Like, they are all different, just like us.
Dr. Nick, the last question I have for you today is, I think my dog has a food allergy. How do I work out what it is?
So in an ideal world, if you think your dog has a food allergy, you ideally would be consulting with an integrative vet. But if you can't, what I want you to do is a few things. First thing is keep a record. I want you to keep a record of what your dog is eating and what you're noticing. Are they itching or do you have digestive upsets? And I want you to keep a track record. Then I want you to go onto a single protein diet and try and eliminate the big culprits of food allergies, which are chicken and beef, without a doubt. The next one's probably wheat, but we don't really have to worry about that with real food diets. And then look lower on the list of sort of soy and corn and pork and fish. Again, less of a worry, but I always start with chicken and beef. Yeah. Get rid of chicken and beef. I see it a lot. And then I will then eliminate that for 6 to 8 weeks and I'll get them on a single protein diet. And so I really like the kangaroo or the goat or the turkey from Big Dog. I'll use that a lot in my elimination diets. And then I actually always will put them on a good probiotic digestive enzyme to try and heal a leaky gut. Because if you have a food allergy, you have a leaky gut.
Right.
Yeah. 70% of our immune system sits behind the gut wall. So if you're constantly leaking through, your immune system's reacting. What does it react to? Things we're presented most commonly. What are they? Chicken and beef. That's why it's top of the list. So you need to heal a leaky gut. You need to get rid of those high-risk proteins out of the equation for 6 to 8 weeks, and then you need to keep a record. What are you seeing? Is there reduction in itching? Is there less loose stools? Are they firming up? Do they have a better appetite? Do they have more interest in food? Are they more energetic? Track that for the 6 to 8 weeks. And then you look at reintroducing those proteins and see what happens. Because if you don't reintroduce them, you're never going to know. So hopefully you've healed the leaky gut and you can actually then tolerate the proteins. And it's not an allergy, it's just a tolerance. They might be able to have a bit of chicken, but maybe not have their whole diet as chicken. A bit like lots of humans can have a bit of something, but they can't have too much of it. Same sort of thing. So that's my basic sort of strategy for food allergies. And I talk to clients about this all day, every day. Like, this is a really common sort of thing we talk about. You can do some food allergy tests, but they're not that accurate. So just keep that in mind. And I think it's A, the testing's not accurate, and B, food allergies is a moving target all the time. The gut is just constantly changing.
Do food allergies more often than not manifest themselves in sickness from either end, or do they come out in the skin, or how do they?
Both, I've seen dogs just get recurrent ear infections and have a chicken allergy. Like, it can be skin, anything skin or anything gut can be food for sure. And a lot of times allergies are really challenging. There's often multiple things. So there's often environmental and food issues going on all at the same time. But you've got to
sort out the gut first. Dr. Nick, amazing. We burned through these questions. We got there in the end. Some wonderful answers as well. A great source of information and insight, Nick.
Thank you. It was fun, wasn't it? I like the questions.
I love these rapid fire question and answer. Hey, Dr. Nick, no doubt we'll see you again soon. You've been listening to me, Johnny Manning, and Dr. Nicole Rouse, founder of Shy Tiger and owner of Montalbert Vet Surgery in Melbourne. This is Pause and Listen. We're doing this for Big Dog Pet Foods, but we're doing this for all the pet owners out there as well. If you like this podcast, which I'm sure you did, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. But thanks a lot. If you've got questions, feel free to shoot them through to customer care at bigdogpetfoods.com. I'm sure we'll do another one of these, Nick, where we answer questions as well. And make sure you give your dog, give your cat a scratch from us. But thanks again, Dr. Nick.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you guys next time. All the best. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. For more information and content, visit the Big Dog Pet Foods website. Please note that the information discussed in these podcasts is general in nature and has been provided in good faith for educational and informational purposes only. The information provided is not, nor is it intended to be, a substitute for professional advice or care. If any of the topics discussed raise questions or concerns for you regarding the health of your pet, we recommend that you consult your veterinarian or trusted pet health provider for an individual assessment and advice. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.